Good morning, church. Good morning. At this time, the kids can head back to kids' church. And our children and Vickley's pastor has prepared a special worship time for kids kindergarten through third grade. So if you want your kids to take part in that, if you're visiting with us and you're not sure what that is, they can head back. And the kids will come back into our service at the end of the service time. And you can feel free to walk your kids back there and get them settled in and get them checked in and then head back in here and join us. Well, in case you missed it, this past week we hosted VBS here at Carbondale. Yeah, and we had a fantastic week. So we had about 130 kids who joined us throughout the week. We had over 100 volunteers. And the best news of all is that we know of at least 4 decisions for Christ, to follow Jesus. So praise the Lord for that. And so I want to thank the volunteers and our staff who put countless hours into making VBS happen so that we can advance the mission of our church, which is to know Christ and make Him known. I'm glad that you're here with us this 4th of July weekend. I'm J.T. Aldridge. I'm one of the elders here in Normandale. And we are preaching through the book of Proverbs. That's our summer elder preaching series. And in case you've missed some of those past sermons, we've already covered adultery and lust and tranquility and conflict. And if you missed any of those, go check out our website. You can always find all of our past sermons on our website. In fact, I'd encourage you, if you missed the intro to Proverbs the first week in June, definitely go check that one out. It helps us to understand how to approach the book of Proverbs, how Proverbs is laid out. So it's a really great resource for us. So this morning, this week, we are taking a look at finances. And I'm sure there's at least some of you in the room, when I said finances, it kind of rolled your eyes and you groaned a little bit because, I get it, finance just isn't your thing. My buddy Dave Ramsey, he would call you a free spirit. But then there's others of you, when I said finance, you perked up because you are the finance manager in your home or at your job, and you're just ready now. You're perched on the edge of your seat, ready for one tip that you're going to learn today. Well, I promise you, I can guarantee you this. One thing is certain, is that finances impacts all of us. If you just think about the headlines that you might have heard recently, we know the recession is here, and that we're experiencing a bear stock market, which is not a good thing, by the way, if you're not into finances. Inflation is way up. Stagflation, I mean, I kind of think they're starting to make up words now just to cover these different things, right? Stagflation is actually a thing, and we are kind of experiencing it. The feds have been raising interest rates, gas prices are through the roof, and have you seen the price of bacon at the store? I know you have. So the intent of all these headlines generally is to kind of to make us panic. But I want to tell you, don't panic. Because God's Word has a lot of wisdom for us about finances in Proverbs. And so we're going to look at some of those today. So let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we ask for your wisdom to help us understand your Word today. Show us something new about you and direct our steps according to your Word. Amen. So God's Word is going to show us how we can live a life of integrity and generosity in the area of financial matters. In the Proverbs today, we are going to see 3 qualities that God values. And He values these 3 qualities in all of life, but today we're going to see them applied to finances. And these 3 qualities are integrity, generosity, and discipline. So if you got to take your copy of God's Word and open it up to Proverbs, And so we're going to start with Proverbs chapter 6, chapter 21, verse 6. And so Proverbs, if you've got an actual hard copy of the Bible, Proverbs is right close to the middle of the Bible. It's the second book right after Psalms. So starting with Proverbs chapter 21, verse 6, it says, "A fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare." So we all want to live with integrity, right? We all want to honor our word and keep our commitments, speak honestly. And this proverb warns us against profiting from lies. And this isn't just talking about, you know, the stereotypical used car salesman who's trying to sell you an overpriced lemon, or, you know, today's version, which is the cyber hacker who's trying to steal your identity and sell it on the black market. You know, these things are extremes, right? Those things that I described, that's an extreme, and we all know that that's lying, and we shouldn't try to profit in that way. But this proverb is much deeper than that. This refers to that little white lie on a resume. I'm taking credit for something at work so that you can get a little bit ahead, or something that might result in a promotion or a raise, or that small cheat on the tax return just to bump up that refund, or taking advantage of the big mega corporation because, wow, GM wouldn't miss just one little piece. Rick, you get that reference? So, you know, a few months ago, I was building a fence, and I needed some concrete, so I went to Lowe's, and the concrete was stacked outside on pallets, so I went inside first to pay for my concrete, and then I was going to go back out and load it up. So I walked up to the cashier, and I told her which concrete I wanted, because there were several varieties out there. I said, "I want the kind that's a blue bag, it's called Maximizer, and this is 101. And as soon as she read the total out to me, I knew that the price was really low. Immediately I thought, that's really low, they have a fantastic price on this concrete. But I didn't say anything, I took my receipt, I went out to load the concrete up, and as I approached the pallet of concrete there, I looked, and immediately I could see the price on the concrete, and I knew that I was significantly undercharged. And there was nobody around, no Lowe's employees, it was a busy Saturday, so I was just out there, so I started to load the concrete, and again, immediately I knew the Spirit was convicting me that I need to go back inside and explain this misunderstanding and make it right. But as I loaded the concrete, I started trying to negotiate with God. I started thinking, you know, I didn't make a mistake. I was very clear about which concrete I wanted. I was not deceitful. I told her exactly the one, it's the only one in the blue bag. It's the only one that's called Maximizer. The cashier, she made a mistake. Right? Why should I be responsible for her mistake? She's the one that the company hired to represent them, right, to customers like me. It's her mistake. And in fact, this little thing, Lowe's is a huge corporation, and they're never going to know. This is not going to hurt them. This is not going to put them out of business or cause them to go into bankruptcy. And while all that is true, by the time I finished loading the concrete, I relented, and I went back inside, and I paid the extra. It was about $65 more that I had to pay. But I'm so thankful for the Spirit's conviction in that moment, because I know me, I was ready to drive away with this great deal that I got. But the Spirit's conviction pointed out, reminded me that in that moment, I wanted to be an honest person more than I wanted to keep money in my pocket. So we look back at this proverb that warns us against lying. This applies to our marriage as well. So get this, 1 in 3 married people admits to hiding a purchase from their spouse. So hiding a purchase, or secretly getting cash back, or secretly opening a bank account or a credit card that your spouse doesn't know about. All of those things are intentional lying. A marriage requires trust. And there can be no financial secrets in a marriage. So next we're going to take a look at a couple of proverbs that will help us to kind of look at generosity in our lives. So we're going to look at these two together, Proverbs 28:22 and 27:20. And by the way, hopefully these verses will be up on the screen so you won't have to try to turn and keep up, because we've got quite a few to go through this morning. So 28:22 says, "A stingy man is eager to get rich and is unaware that poverty awaits him." 27:20 says, "Death and destruction are never satisfied, and neither are the eyes of man." So we all want to be generous. We want to be giving to the needy and blessing others out of our abundance, and tithing and making offerings. And this proverb warns us against an attitude of stinginess and greed. And so back, when we look back at Proverbs 28:22, the stingy man is eager to get rich and is unaware that poverty awaits him. It's a good time to remember one thing about the Proverbs. We're reading Proverbs. And it's, the Proverbs are wisdom literature. So therefore, they are not promises or guarantees from God. So Proverbs focus on probabilities or the general rule, not the exception. So one thing we can know about is that this proverb, it's not a promise that a stingy person will end up in poverty, right? Or will fall into financial poverty. It's not a guarantee. We can't necessarily count on it. But like the wisdom in this proverb comes when we consider the spiritual condition of a person. So let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 6:10, which says, "Nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." So we stop and we think about that in the spiritual condition of a person. The greedy will not inherit the kingdom of God. So then we take that back to this proverb and see why it's important not to be stingy. When we look at Proverbs 27:20, this tells us that our eyes are never satisfied. And I love the way that Mason said this a few weeks ago, when we praise and seek that which we delight in. So this proverb always makes me think of our materialistic culture and how we think that we deserve all the most luxurious things, the most luxurious house, and cars, and clothes, and fine dining, furniture, all these things that take a lot of money, right, to support that kind of a lifestyle. And the danger is that when we seek those things, and we delight in those things, we end up spending all of our money toward those things. And when we do that, what happens is we don't have anything left over to be generous, right? When an opportunity presents itself for us to be generous, when there's a need, we don't have anything left. The third quality that we're going to look at today is discipline. And discipline is the foundation for financial success in our lives. While we all want to live with integrity and we want to be generous, we often don't do what it takes to be the people or the person we want to be. Doing what it takes is called discipline. Discipline is training, it's the practice of training, or, and I love this, regulating our human behavior to be who we want to be. That's what discipline is, regulating our behavior. So a couple of months ago, I was taking my son Nathan to baseball practice. And in my truck, I had a backpack filled with 70 pounds of sand. And Nathan asked me this question about that, and it really thought-provoking. It caused me to think. And with this 70-pound backpack, I will walk around during his baseball practices for exercise. And it's called rucking. It's actually got a name, carrying a weighted backpack. And I'm carried around for about 2 miles. And Nathan asked me, "Dad, why do you like to ruck? Because it looks hard." And I had to think about it for a long moment, a couple minutes, to respond. And finally, I said, "Because there's joy on the other side of it." And he probably didn't understand that, but that was kind of what I got down to in my head. There's joy on the other side. When I finish rucking, I feel this great sense of accomplishment and even joy because I pushed myself mentally, physically, even when I was tired and it was hot and I was ready to quit. I pushed myself anyway. So that's what discipline is. We can experience that same kind of joy when we're obedient to God's principles about finances. And being obedient to God's principles requires discipline. The more disciplined you are, the more freedom you have. Right? So this, that sentence right there, that kind of flies in the face of what we often think or what we're often told. The more disciplined you are, the more freedom you have. You know, we often look at discipline as restrictive, holding us back, keeping us back. You know, it's rules, and it tells us don't do this and don't do that. And that's how we look at discipline. But the truth is the opposite. The more disciplined we are, the more freedom you have. Think about what I mentioned earlier. The more disciplined we are with our finances, the more we have available when there's need and we can be generous. Right? And so that is the value of discipline. So we're going to take a look at a couple of Proverbs that talk about discipline specifically. Proverbs 13:18 says, "He who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored." And Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty." So I'm going to read a little story, I call it a little story, out of Proverbs for you that kind of just explains the significance of having discipline in our financial lives. So Proverbs 6:1-5, it says this, "My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have struck hands and pledged for another, if you've been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, to free yourself, since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands. Go and humble yourself, press your plea with your neighbor. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler." So this passage in Proverbs, when you boil it down, this passage is teaching us to avoid co-signing a loan for another person. And if you've done that, or if we've done that, we should get out of that arrangement or that agreement as fast as we can. Now you might say, well, why? What's the big deal about that? Well, co-signing a loan is equal to pledging to pay that loan off if the other person fails to do so. Right? So you, in that situation as a co-signer, you would be financially responsible for that debt. And that responsibility could harm your own financial situation, impact your own family. This sort of thing could even ruin you financially. So since Proverbs teaches us how to live life well, we should heed this warning. In fact, when we look at 1 Corinthians 7:23, it says, "You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men." Right, so we need to keep that in mind. The Bible tells us to use our wisdom, use discipline to avoid becoming slaves of men again in this financial sense. At any time that we enter into an agreement where we are being responsible for an amount of money that we may not be able to cover, that kind of thing can ruin us, it can lead to ruin, it can lead to poverty. And we should use discipline to avoid that. I love the end of the prompt there where it talks about how you should get out of it. Run like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. Or in my case, it would be like, run like a dog when she gets free in the neighborhood. She gets out of the house and she runs. Like, run like that. Or we had this cat one time when we lived over here by Blue Haze Elementary. And Foster the cat snuck out of the house into the front yard one night. It was late. And as I went out to approach him, you know, I walk up to him, I'm real nice, I'm like, come here, Foster, come back inside. And he looked at me like I was the stray pet police from The Secret Life of Pets. And that's the look that he had in his eyes. He'd never seen me before, he'd wild out, and he bolted over to the neighbor's house. And he goes over, he gets in their bushes, right up against their house, and I could see I could see the light of their TV like coming through their window, you know, it's like right in the front of their house. They're watching TV, and Carrie and I are out there, and she's over at one end, he's up at the bushes, and we can't get him, and she's at one end, I'm at the other. We're like scream whispering, you know, outside, right in front of their house. Like, he's coming right there. Grab him right there. But you know, that kind of reminds me. I mean, that's how we should run, or that's how we should flee from a financial agreement that could lead to our ruin. And so why, you might ask, but why? Why should we try to avoid these things? Well, Proverbs 22:27 tells us very clearly why. If you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched from under you. That was pretty clear, right? If you lack the means to pay, for whatever it is that you might have purchased beyond your means, if you lack the means to pay it, it can be taken away from you, right? Maybe a car loan or even a home loan, I mean, that your very bed can be snatched from under you. So Proverbs, they're not just good advice. They're God's invitation to learn wisdom from previous generations. And wisdom is not just knowledge, it's not just something we know, but it's applied knowledge. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is knowledge in action. And so also, I want to be sure that I bring up this subject, that there's a tension throughout the Bible. And this tension is between, on the one hand, being wise with our money so that we can provide and be responsible for ourselves. And on the other hand, being generous, right? And not being greedy and not storing up treasures for ourselves on earth. And so this tension often comes up, and I've thought about it for years. Now, how do I know if I'm doing the right thing? How do I know if I'm saving too much money and I'm planning and I'm preparing too much? Or how do you know if you're being too generous or you're giving too much of it away and you're going to need that later to be responsible for yourself? So how do we know? How do we resolve this tension? Well, that is an impossibly hard question to give you an answer to. So instead, we're going to turn to Psalm 49. Psalm 49 tells us what we can be certain of. So I want to read some verses from Psalm 49, starting at verse 10. And you just listen. So the scripture says this: "For all can see that the wise die, that the foolish and the senseless also perish, leaving their wealth to others. People, despite their wealth, do not endure. They are like the beasts that perish. Their forms will decay in the grave, far from their princely mansions. But God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself. Do not be overawed when others grow rich, when the splendor of their houses increases. For they will take nothing with them when they die. Their splendor will not descend with them. Though while they live, they count themselves blessed, and people praise you when you prosper, they will join those who have gone before them, who will never again see the light of life. People who have wealth but lack understanding are like the beasts that perish. So this psalm, it sums up in a really simple way. Basically, it says, it doesn't matter if you're rich or if you're poor. It encourages us to remember what does matter. And what matters is that we have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus. We look back at that verse 15 of Psalm 49, it says this, "But God will redeem me from the realm of death. He will surely take me to himself." Because of our sin, our lying lips and our greedy hearts and our undisciplined desires, we have rebelled against God. And our sin deserves God's wrath. But God provided the perfect sacrifice in Jesus. And God poured his wrath out on his own Son. And this is how God redeems us. Jesus died as a sacrificial lamb. He took the punishment for our sin, the punishment that we deserve. God redeemed us from the dead, and we can stand justified before him by the cross alone. This is the gospel, and here's how you can respond. Repentance and faith. Repentance is turning away from our sin. And faith is putting our hope in Jesus as our Savior. The Spirit prompting you this morning to make a change in how you manage your finances for the sake of Christ. Is there a matter of integrity or generosity or discipline that has been brought to your mind this morning by the Spirit? Because we are pursuing financial wisdom, not to get rich, but to honor Christ in all that we do. He is our prize. And when you handle money according to his wisdom, you display to the whole world his glory and the value of being known by him. So if you feel him drawing you near to him today, you can come to know him today. I'll be standing in the back corner if you want to talk to me about that or anything else during this last worship song. So bow with me as we pray. Father, hear our confessions. Respond with mercy. We look to your throne in heaven in awe and reverence. Thank you for your forgiveness. Teach us to be wise with money so that we can live different than the world and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.